Hey, y'all, I'm going to take a second to give a quick shout out to the official mortgage lender of the Huntleaf Deep podcast. That's Casey Burns of Prime Lending Mortgage. I've known Casey for 10 years, and he's the only lender I use. I've used Casey to purchase two houses, and the process has been seamless and easy each time. He's the heart of an educator, and he truly cares about what's best for his clients. He specializes in VA loans, but can handle FHA, conventional, and investment loans as well. He's a true expert and specialist in his field, and there's no one I recommend more than Casey. You can contact Casey at casey.burns@primelending.com. Reach him by phone at 919-710-1864. You can also check out all his reviews at www.closewithcasey.com. Thanks, y'all.
Good morning, Huntleaf Deep. We're back, day three. We got some new arrivals today. Pretty awesome. But you guys, this place is amazing, and Huntleaf Deep is absolutely killing it, I think, this weekend. You got me, Scotty Eisen. We got Gabriel Martinez here now, finally showed up.
The Wyoming killer.
Yep. That's what we're going to talk about today. We also got Garrett Carver back for another day, right?
Always. And it's hard to stay away from this place.
It is. It's pretty fun. We're just talking hunting, talking about Colorado, talking about what we do, right? Geez, everybody here is you're in Wyoming, yeah. Right?
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Okay, which is how far from here?
2 hours.
About 2 hours. And then Garrett, where are you at?
I'm just in Greeley, about an hour north of here as well.
Yeah, nice.
And then, if I remember right, you were also hunting in a pretty similar area to where I was at here in Colorado earlier this year. So kind of a little bit of a locals only kind of group here.
Yeah, maybe the trifecta.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, man. Well, I love Colorado. I love everything about it. I was born in Greeley, where you live.
Yeah.
It's like my one claim to fame for Colorado. No, but I've spent a lot of time here. My family's here. My uncle's actually come today to come visit. So get to meet my uncle.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But, man, I love Colorado and this whole area and Wyoming and there's just so much hunting. Everybody wants to come out. Yeah. This is the West, right?
Dude, the hunting out here is awesome. The opportunities are insane. I think I had a rough season this year, but I think I still had 6 tags in my pocket at one point between black bear, 2 different elk tags, deer tag, antelope tag. So didn't have the time to go try to fill any of them, but, the opportunity is around if you go look for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And are you putting in every year, building preference points as a resident? I mean, there are certain tags you could probably buy over the counter, of course, right?
So my deer tag is almost an every other year kind of a tag. Okay. It's pretty much a 1-point draw every other year, and it's one of those units that I can kind of hunt from after my work day is over and everything like that. It's real close to home. But then elk-wise, I've just been stocking up points and buying the over-the-counter license because mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm thinking I'm going to do with points, but I don't know yet. We'll kind of keep an eye on it, ear to the ground, see what's going on.
What about you, Gabe? Are you putting in for building preference points? You're due most of your hunting in Wyoming?
Okay. I just hunt mainly in Wyoming. The only thing I really put in for is antelope because elk and deer I hunt general. Mm. And same situation with Garrett. I hunt really close to town, which is very fortunate. I can drive back and forth after work or on the weekends and stuff, but... Yeah, I usually just hunt over the counter for deer and elk, and then I put in for antelope. So. Mm-hmm.
So how does that general tag work for Wyoming? I'm obviously non-resident. I think it takes 2 points for us to even try to draw a general tag.
Yeah, I think that's how it works. I mean, I couldn't tell you myself because
like a resident at least, like is it pretty much as simple as like just going to the store and just buying it over the counter?
You go to Walmart, Sportsman's, go buy your tag and hit the hills.
I'm fucking out of Colorado. I'm moving to Wyoming next year.
Yeah, I wish we had a lot more public land though. I mean, everything's pretty much landlocked as you guys seen. It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I hunt close to town. I hunt our lease. It's close.
Yeah.
This last year, I filled all 3 of my tags, elk, deer, and antelope.
You shot a hell of an elk this year, too, didn't you?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Pretty good bull.
An amazing bull. It was like, early on in the season, right? At least for me.
Opening day.
It was second day of season.
Yeah, and it was it was the first bull that, out of all of our Huntleaf Deep crowd, all of our guys, all of a sudden that thing hit our group.
Yeah.
I was in disbelief. I'm like,
same.
Holy shit.
Same. So let's
Gabe.
Talk,
yeah.
Gabe, let's talk a little bit about your hunting style in comparison to, like, here in Colorado, it's a lot of thick timber. So, yeah. like, we had the Mile High Notes game call guys on yesterday with us, and they're all about call, kind of same thing as Corey Jacobson. They're looking for that elk that wants to play the game. I know you're a big fan of the spot and stock kind of thing. Is that like your bread and butter? Or
I
that?
Do both. I mean, okay. if the elk aren't talking, then I'll spot and stock, and the same with deer.
Yeah.
But usually I'll sit there and call, okay. because where I'm hunting, it's big, but it isn't. And all around me is private, and okay. I have Colorado right next to me. So yeah. when I'm in there, I'm just screaming all day, cow calling, just something for something to come in. You
yeah.
know? I mean, I'm very fortunate where I'm at because these last couple of years, we've pulled some really great bulls, mm-hmm. good bucks.
And bucks, I was going to yeah. say, because you shot a smoker buck too.
Yeah, that's 3 years in a row yeah. I've killed a nice 4-point.
Well, and all your buddies that you like, you guys were hunting with, I remember you posting a picture of a nice deer almost like every day for a week there, yeah, just yeah. you and all your guys. Your dad yeah. shot a nice bull and yeah. nice deer this year too, if I remember right.
So. My two buddies that are actually with me, I guided both of them on one of them on one elk hunt. He killed an elk 2 years ago, and my buddy that's with me as well, he killed a nice 7x7.
Nice.
A couple of years ago, and then this last year, he killed a nice 5-pointer with his bow.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, for me and for all of our listeners, like, are you hunting, are you bow hunting? Are you carrying rifle?
Both.
You're doing both?
I hunt until my tag's filled. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll mm-hmm. start off early season, which like, the last 2 years, I've killed an elk with my bow, but I'm still trying to get that deer with my bow. It's so
mm-hmm.
tough.
Mm-hmm.
Very tough.
Yeah.
Especially where I'm at. It's nothing but sagebrush and rocky yeah. and it's wide open. I mean, it's still a good time.
Yeah. I got a Colorado hunt that I'm interested in talking to both of you about that's a deer hunt that once we get off this podcast we need to discuss because I got some inside information from these guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's an archery hunt, but I think if we're going to do it, that would be the hunt to do.
So yeah.
It's an incredible unit, and it's an every other year draw on an archery tag, so...
Well, I'm intrigued. I'm always intrigued about learning, like, about new areas, you know? Because
yeah.
similar for me with you, Gabe, is, like, I feel really fortunate that I have a spot to go to.
Yeah.
You know? It's private land. It's my grandpa's ranch, you know?
Yeah.
He lives out there year-round, you know? We make it a family trip. And that's my hunting's been, like, fully pretty much wrapped around family,
yeah.
you know, all the time.
Same.
My grandpa, my uncles, you know, I brought my son out, but my cousins show up. You know, it's a family thing, you know. And but I feel really fortunate to have some land to go to. So you know, when you get it, you just have to work with what you got, you
yep.
know. And so and it's just a great opportunity. Like my grandpa has 2,000 acres. How many acres are you hunting off of?
I think about 2,000.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds big. It's a lot, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot. Anybody would die to have a 2,000-acre ranch. Are you
oh,
kidding
absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's
but,
not all bread and butter, though.
But it's not. You know, you're still limited to an extent yeah. on how you're going to hunt and where and what where you're going to pressure on what, you know, what yeah. days and what time of day. And, you know, it's really not a huge, huge expansive
yeah.
area to be hunting like you can find on,
yeah.
on public land. And that's the amazing part about public land,
yeah.
right?
Absolutely.
And taking advantage of that public land when you get not, when you find a good spot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the same situation for you, but when we get there, you'll know if there's anything there by 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can almost tell if a day is basically wiped away yeah. in the first hour or two if
mm-hmm.
if there's anything
you
around.
Know, I don't stay limited to that area, though. Like,
mm-hmm.
if
yeah.
we're there and we don't see anything, all public land hunt. Everywhere that's
yeah.
around us until we find something.
Oh, yeah. There's no hunting day that ever gets wasted,
yeah.
that's for sure.
Absolutely, you know, and we do the same thing. I mean, if we know... If it's just not happening, you know, you got to go find them.
Yeah,
you know, well, that's what you got to do.
I can't stay put.
Yeah, I'm not good at it either. It's something I have to you have to like train yourself to do
uh-huh.
to just be patient and sit and wait.
I
and,
have
and, like,
zero of that.
And like some days I'm better than other days. You
oh,
know,
absolutely.
I mean, sometimes I just want to get up and move. You
yeah.
know, but
that was the story of my year this year. It was like every weekend. It was like let's pick a new camp spot that's
mm-hmm.
on a totally different side
yeah.
of the mountain and
yeah.
like. Finally, it was the third weekend when I finally got into elk. Up until then, I was getting spikes coming in, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then finally, it was like week three, kind of that like peak rut time frame. Man, dude, they just, I mean, it was we couldn't get away from the bulls. I mean, I had that other Hunt Lift Eat team member, Josh Day, come out. Mm-hmm. Dude, it was wild. I wasn't expecting to be able to kind of just like, it was kind of my first real show at a backcountry, like overnight, living off the backpack mm-hmm. and everything. And like, dude, I'm not going to go back. I can't go back. Yeah.
You're hooked. Tell us about that, because I want to know what that was like. Because I know I've done a little bit of backpacking, but to commit and do, because that's what everybody wants to do, right? Yeah. I don't know about you, Gabe, but that's something I want to do.
Yeah.
Get out there, take. I spent a lot of time in the field when I was in the Marines, so like I know what to anticipate, and that's why I love being outdoors anyway.
Yeah.
But to spend a couple days out there, 5 days, 7 days, whatever. I mean, guys do it, you know, and to get an opportunity to do it, and to be in it.
It was
and
awesome.
Hearing it. I mean, you hear the calls in the background stuff.
You're going to sleep and there's elk trampling through your campsite. Dude, it was sick. Yes. It was an experience. And my biggest advice for somebody that wants to do that, pick a weekend and just do a shorty.
Mm-hmm.
Go up Friday night, camp in the truck that night, head out Saturday, do one overnighter, and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
At least get a feel for it, and then from there you can add more days, whatever. And I mean, that it literally changed the whole way that I'm going to hunt from now on. Because it was just an incredible experience. And then I got one of the best pictures I could have ever taken of the mountain that I buried my dad on.
Wow.
At sunset. I came around this corner. I just lost the bull that I had been bugling with all afternoon. But it was like, I couldn't have cared less about that bull at that point. I looked off into the distance, and from one mountain peak to another, it was the most incredible experience I ever had. And it was like one of those moments where I was like, okay, I've found where God's at, and I think I need to be in this area. It has to happen like this from now on.
Dude, I love that. I mean, that's amazing. Dude.
It was awesome.
I love that. It's super symbolic to what the outdoors is to us and our families, you know, and
tradition, you know, honor, and everything.
Yeah, our time here is short, you know, and got to enjoy. We were just talking about family. You got to enjoy the time you have with them, you know, and the time, you know, whether it's, that doesn't have to be hunting, but whatever you do with your family, you know, and to enjoy those times. And when you are out like in the wild, you know, no week in the wild, you know, we're getting out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's different when you're out there. That's like, that's real. That's the real world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not none of this.
Consequences are real out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like nothing bad happened while we were out there with me and Josh, but there was definitely one or two instances where we were like, okay, one misstep, and this could have been a totally different ball game. Yeah. That's a broken femur. That's a, you know, like
scary.
Just weird stuff. Like the year before last, I got chased off a little hill by a moose that I ended up falling 30 feet and fucking my bow up pretty good.
Oh, damn.
Like,
wow.
Just wrong place, wrong time. But I mean, it's everything in the woods happens so damn fast.
Yep.
It's like last season for me. Stepped on a couple of rattlesnakes walking through the brush, dude.
Yeah, that's scary.
You gotta be careful on that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right on top of him, there's a tiny little baby rattle.
Those are the dangerous ones, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to a guy, another hunter in California, and he was telling me a crazy story. I guess I'll just tell it real quick. But he was out hunting out in the public land. It gets steep out there, and it's hot, and you know, you have to have a lot of water.
Yeah.
You know, the hills get really dry, and it's tough hunting.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was, I think he shot a buck, and it ended up down in the bottom of this ravine. And he went down there, and he recovered it, and he looked not 10 feet away, and there was a hand coming out of the ground.
What the hell?
And what it was a guy who was out hunting or hiking. I don't know if that part would have been confirmed necessarily.
Yeah.
But he took a tumble. And he fell down and went missing. Nobody knew where he was, and he'd been gone for like 10 years. No, that's not right. A couple years. It was 3 years, I think. Two years or I don't know. Maybe I don't have all the details right, but I know it happened.
Yeah.
And it's scary out there. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't. And,
you never
and,
know what
and,
could happen.
And
man.
You got to have a buddy system, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're out there by yourself, it can be
so
sketch.
An investment I made this year was one of those Garmin inReaches.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I've seen those.
Dude. If nothing else, like, just checking in with the old lady at night, like, hey, love you, whatever, I'm still safe. Like, don't send the scout team yet, because we're okay. But in the case of an emergency, though, too, like, we're ready to go. Like, especially nowadays, like, I don't know, man. It's, you can't be too safe.
Like, yeah, no.
And I like to solo hunt a lot. Like the backcountry excursions after that weekend with Josh, the next 2 weekends I went back out.
Yeah.
And
that's
I was completely by myself.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sleeping in, I didn't even take a tent that last weekend.
Really?
I just was out under the stars.
Dude,
and
I love that.
It was awesome, dude.
That is awesome.
I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that's another one of those moments. If you're by yourself, you got to be dialed into what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, one thing I want to know about your bull, I want you to tell you the story of how you got that big bull on the ground. Tell us all about it.
All right. So September 1st, I can't remember if it was a Thursday or not. I don't know. But I went out to camp that night.
Yeah, I was.
Took my camper out, set up camp, and thought to myself, all right, I'm going to go out for an evening hunt, see if I can see anything. So I went out, started hiking around, glassing, and I was looking up on this ridge across from me, and I spotted some bucks, and I spotted a really nice four-point buck. Well, I knew...
I love that. How amazing is that?
Caleb's
never,
over here starting a war with the other guys.
It never gets old. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to start a bugling war today.
Oh, yeah. With
it's going to happen.
High notes game calls, boys.
Yeah, and I think they're doing a bugling competition later today, too.
I think that was already earlier this morning.
I missed
actually,
that.
I don't know. I feel like we would have heard something about that.
Anyway.
Might have been a few bugles blowing.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Anyway, where was I at?
Real nice four-point buck that you saw as you were looking on the other ridge.
Spotted that buck, and it was getting late. I spotted him, and he was with like four or five other deer. And I made a plan. I watched him, put him to bed, and my buddies came out that evening and were watching him with me. So I told them, let's come back here in the morning and make a plan so I can come out there and try to kill him. So we get back to camp. Night goes on, whatever. We go back the next day and I'm looking for that deer and I couldn't find him anywhere. I was picking apart everything. By this time it was like 10 o'clock. I was like, man, let's just go back to camp, whatever. And my buddy looks at me and he says, I think I see an elk ass sticking out in the trees. So I pulled out the spotter and it was a spike. So I was sitting there watching him for a while, watching everything he did, started feeding, and then next thing you know, another elk popped out. I said, all right, some more elk. Well, I'm sitting there glassing those two elk for about 20 minutes, I'd say, and I'm looking at this tree that's right next to him, and I could just see like what it looked like, the outline of a rack.
Oh my gosh.
Man, it looks like an elk. I'm just sitting there with my spotter looking and looking, because he was tucked back in between them trees.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I see his ear flicker. I said, that's a big bull. Mm-hmm. I told my friends, you guys stay here. I'm going to work my way up across the canyon, and I'm going to try to get my wind right, because the wind was blowing left to right in front of us, and it was perfect. So I go down with my bow.
And how far is he right now from you?
He's about 600 yards.
Okay.
So I go down, go up the other side, get my wind right, and I could see more elk with him that I couldn't see before. I was like, this is going to be a tough fucking situation. So I keep moving in. I take my pack off. I take my boots off. By this time, I'm about 80 yards away. And finally, I creep over this hill where there's a perfect thing of sagebrush in front of me, and I could see his tips. And I was like, that's when my adrenaline started kicking in.
Yeah.
And by that time, it was about noon. So I'm sitting there watching him forever, and then I see a bull that's in next to him, bedded down, stand up that I didn't see, and that wind swirled and hit him, and he was staring at me for, it felt like an hour, but it had only been like 6 minutes. Well, he's sitting there staring at me. I was like, it's over. These bulls are going to blow out. Well, another bull popped out in front of my bulls in the tree, popped up and started walking towards him, and they both put their heads down and started sparring.
Oh, my God.
I was like, so thank sick. God. So I was sitting
right
there,
in front of you.
Right in front of me.
80 yards?
It was, this time it was 60 where they 60, were at.
Okay.
My bull was 40. He was right beneath me. So I'm looking at them bulls fighting, and it gets my elk's attention. And by this time, I had told my buddies to do anything, to bugle, cow call, but it was just so early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
He just let off little bugles in his bed, but that was it. But those two bulls fighting got his attention. He stood up, shook himself off. I remember getting my rangefinder and ranging 42. So as soon as he was feeding away from me, but then he turned, and that's when I drew my bow and stood up. And he got caught a glimpse of me, but I already had a perfect shot, and I just squeezed and released. Whap. and just the loudest smack sunk in him, and he just took off.
I love it.
Sight of him. Took off. My buddies are up on the hill throwing their fists up.
Oh, my gosh.
I get on the phone. I call them. I said, where did he go? And they're like, he went to your right. So I wait for them to get to me because I just didn't want to bump him.
Yeah.
We're looking for maybe 20 minutes. It's like, dude, I swore I smoked him, like, right in the vitals. He has to be somewhere right here. Because where I hit him, there was blood, but then it started getting patchy everywhere. Well, my buddy said, he comes down, he's like, no, I don't know, this tree looks familiar over here. He's walking around, I'm sitting there stressing out. This is the biggest bull I've ever seen. I lost him. Well, he's like, oh, I found him. I was like, oh, my God. We ran over there. The sight of him just laying down.
My gosh.
I was like, this is the biggest bull I'll probably ever kill in my life.
So that's awesome. That's
42
so cool.
Yards, dude. Smoked him.
That's sick.
Yeah.
It gave me goosebumps hearing all about it, because I've only shot a pig with my bow.
Yeah.
And it was like all second nature. Everything clicked in that moment. And, you know, you barely remember it, but you remember what it felt like, you know, and what you heard and what you saw, you know. And luckily for me, when after I heard this, everything that you heard, right, and then she ran up the hill, but and it was early morning, and she was puffing out blood, so I could see, like, little pink mist coming out, and I knew it was good.
Yeah.
But that feeling when you you just don't know, you know, and your buddies are up on the hill,
sick.
And you're by yourself, too, you know, and
just
you just,
sick.
Oh, it's tough. But that feeling when you find him and see him, especially such a big bull laying down like that.
There's nothing better than walking up on that, dude. Nothing better.
It was so hot that day, man. It had to be 90 degrees.
Wow.
When we found him, there were flies all over him already.
Really?
So we had to hurry up and skin him and pack him out.
It was an abnormally warm September for us this year. I think we had that one weekend where it got just nasty cold, and that was like the second week of the season.
Yeah.
And that was it. After that, it was basically 80 degrees during the day and maybe 50 at night.
Yeah. Shit, that third week of season was when my buddy killed his bull when we were out there, and those elk were fired up.
Oh,
I mean, it was foggy out, and I'd cow call a couple times, and just everywhere, and just the whole mountainside just light up.
Gosh, you know, that's how we kind of introed into this, you know. But I love that, you know. And you were just saying that you finally got a chance to go do it, and it was unbelievable. You're doing it. I've never done it, but like, that's why I love watching YouTube so much, because I can just watch those videos, and I just like, I feel like I've done it, but I've never done it, you know. But to experience it on I mean, I've heard an elk bugle, of course, but like when they're hot and ready, you know,
it's something wild about when that elk comes blowing through a bush and there's sticks and shit flying everywhere.
Pissing everywhere.
Yeah, he is just beside himself with fury, and that bugle just goes straight fucking through your soul,
and your adrenaline will just pump and pump and pump.
It's like time stops.
Yep.
It's insane.
Yeah. I love that shit. I feel like I feel it now when I hear him out here.
I know. I keep hearing Caleb and the Mile High Boys going off back and forth, and I got the hair on the back of my neck standing up.
Yeah. No, dude.
Caleb, let out a bugle. Bugle.
Let's hear your
rip one.
Let's hear your chuckle.
We're going to put him to the test.
Yeah, you should be able to hear this, folks. This is
we're sitting here looking at his fucking ginormous bull.
Yeah, I think he said this is a 340 bull.
Just called it. Yeah.
I think that's really good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I would give it an A. That's just me, though.
I'd hunt with the guys. So.
Yeah. I'm not complaining.
I mean, again, we're still looking at his bull here that's right over our heads, and the man can hunt.
Yes,
so.
He can. This thing's pretty impressive. And there was a guy that came by and was like, oh, is that did they just write an article about that bull in the Colorado Bow Hunters Association? And sure enough, they did.
Yep.
Or Caleb did, one of the two, because it's a pretty impressive bull, man.
Dude,
it's
Caleb's
special.
Got a couple of cool hunts lined up. He's going to Africa later this year, New Zealand next year.
Really? I didn't know about New Zealand.
We got to get Tajikistan for a Marco Polo hunt on his list next.
With that guy, I wouldn't doubt it's not on his list already.
Me and him were talking about it yesterday, and I think we're both going to forego retirement for that as an option instead, because I think that's like a $60,000 hunt.
60? Oh, my gosh.
I think if you throw an Ibex in with the Marco Polo, it's like 60 grand.
Got to have some fat pockets for that.
Like,
or you're not going to retire, either one. Just credit card after credit card get lined up.
Mm-hmm. Like, I really want to go to Alaska. I know you can DIY it. I'm trying to educate myself on it, you know, and how it works and stuff. And, of course, there's outfitters and stuff that'll get you out there. And but no doubt, it is a pretty penny.
It's not cheap, man. Starting to look at all these out-of-state hunts and everything like that, the budgeting is going to have to get sorted out for sure.
Yeah, well, take advantage of what you have in your backyard, as much as possible. And when the opportunities come up, jump on them. And then I think for anybody that does hunt, you know, it's just it's a process anyway. You got to start somewhere. And then once you kind of master your backyard, maybe start driving a little bit further.
Well, it's that idea of like whatever. You want to be the guy hunting every year because the guy hunting every year is going to get the experience.
Yeah.
If you just are waiting until you get that magical tag, like the Unit 2 or Unit 1 tag here in Colorado, I mean, you're going to spend so many years just not hunting.
Yeah.
And just waiting. And just, you don't build skills like, man, you haven't, when you really haven't gotten the experience, why go experience the top end if you don't know how to do it fully when we get there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it takes away from the experience to do that personally.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree for sure. Well, again, most of my hunting has been with family, you know, and so, and you hunt with your dad. Right? Yep, is that right?
He's my best friend.
Is he with you? Was he with you this year? It sounds like it was you and your buddies, but was he out there?
Yeah. He does an archery hunt.
Yeah. So what I want to know what the response was from your dad when you send him a picture or walk home, bring that big boy home. I mean, that's got to be like a proud dad moment right there.
It's funny you say that because every year he's the very first person I call when I kill something.
Of course.
Dad. I got one on the ground. Nice. Hell yeah, I'll be out there soon.
Oh, I love
that. I'll leave work right now. I'll go get the game cart. We'll drag him out.
Hell yeah.
Whatever. It's just, he's just my best friend, man. Just, I've seen him killing shit my whole life. Mm-hmm. Just watching him grow, and then now I'm kind of getting away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Going to hunt with my son now. It's just a whole
That's right. Congratulations, by the way.
Dude, I'm excited for you to have that opportunity, and like, that's going to be awesome.
The next generation is coming. Yeah.
The next generation of the Wyoming killers.
I know. Yep. I know. It's exciting to think about, though.
It is.
I've got kids of my own, and it's just fun to just – I just like hanging out with them, you know, and doing what they like to do. And I know that they see how passionate I am about the things I love, you know, whether it be hunting or – I mean, it's mostly hunting. And I do European mounts and play golf, you know. That's what I mean, golf is my other love, you know.
And my son's like, you, me, and Caleb need to get out.
Well, I want to get out. It sounds like he's a pretty damn good golfer. I'm
intimidated to golf with him, for the record. But.
Well, but that's what I'm saying is, like, I got my son golfing. So I brought him out hunting. He likes it and stuff, but he loves golf.
Yeah.
And he loves golf like I love hunting, you know. And he gets, luckily because of his age, he gets to do it every day. Yeah. And he's gotten really good. But it's just fun to see your kids grow up and be successful at what they're doing. And it's crazy for me to say that because I'm kind of starting to see it in my own son. Wow, I am seeing it in my own son. And your dad obviously is seeing that in you when you bring all these big old freaking giants home.
And you have a kid now that you're like that. Just that was just what, like the last 2 weeks, right?
He's going to be 3 weeks old.
3 weeks old, man. Congratulations.
Yeah.
It's an exciting next chapter, and it's, I think, going to be for hunting for you, it's going to be that much better.
Fishing, camping, sports. Everything.
Yeah. Life just got a little bit sweeter. Yep. No, I love it.
And you can never be in trouble when you're the one taking the kid with you for the weekend.
Yep.
If you're like, hey, I'm taking the boy fishing or whatever, mom's never going to be upset by that.
I agree with that. I think that's good advice.
Yep.
Definitely true. Definitely true. Well, I think it's awesome. I'm happy we're all here. We're finally get a chance to meet each other.
Yeah.
You know, obviously everybody, most people listening know, you know, where we all come from. We could just come from all over the place.
Yeah.
Really, you know what
just
I mean?
And so countrywide.
This is a huge opportunity for us to kind of link up and meet each other face to face. And we were talking about last, I mean, go ahead. I mean, you should, I mean, all of these interactions that we've had together, it's like we've known each other forever.
Yeah.
You know,
like we were saying last night, it was almost like anticlimactic when we all got together of like, oh, hey, it's just fucking Scotty. Like,
yeah, what's up,
exactly.
Dude?
Like, what's up, been talking to you for like a year now.
Yeah,
it's all
I know.
Good, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it's good, man. I think this weekend was much needed for all of us to get out and just.
Definitely.
Just kind of get used to each other a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. And we just we're all hanging out, we're talking about hunting, and just enjoying, you know, these relationships, you know, and that's what's all about. That's what hunting's all about, and our group, and everything we're trying to do, I think, is about just being good people.
Absolutely.
You know? So, cool, guys. Well, I guess we'll have to jump back on in a little bit.
Yeah, we might need to wrap this up. We're getting a little lengthy and long-winded here. We got
a lot to talk about.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, let's wrap this up. We'll be back shortly with, I think the lineup, there is a lineup today. Don't ask me who it is, but I know there's other people coming on, so.
I think so.
We'll jump back on
it. I don't know who it is, but we'll see. Gonna get Scotty to do some pull-ups now.
I don't think so. I like doing the dead hang. I don't do as many pull-ups as I used to. Let's just say that.
So for our listeners, we're doing a pull-up and dead hang challenge here at the International Sportsman's Expo. It's been kind of a fucking hit. It's been entertaining to watch people do this, and I know I can't do very many pull-ups, but it's fun to see some of the people that can.
Yeah, and amazingly, just doing a dead hang is very hard.
Yeah.
Try to hang on as long as you can. Yesterday, we had a 50-year-old woman come in here, pretty confident, wearing a dress. You wouldn't expect it. I'm telling you, you wouldn't expect it. She got up there and hung. She beat the women's record, and she beat the men's record.
She still has the longest dead hang going into
still
today.
Still the leader moving into day three.
2:13.
Yeah, 2 minutes and 13 seconds. And it was impressive to see. And it's impressive to see grown men try to do pull-ups.
Yeah.
But it's fun to see people participating.
Especially, you know, when Bobby lotioned up the fucking bar, so now it's all slippery.
Well, Bobby earlier put on his pack trying to act like
his pack full of balloons.
Oh my, yeah, of course. Bobby would do that. But Bobby's got to jump on use the stool to get up on the bar, though.
Where is Bobby?
Yeah, he's wandering around here. Right on, guys.
Let's just rip on him some more.
Oh, man. But it's super fun to see all the people, man. There's so much people watching to do, and everybody's interested in our booth, I think.
I think so.
It looks good.
Yeah. The baddest booth here.
Like, when I walk up, I'm like, I just look for this massive elk, and I find my way. But walking up, you can tell, like, you know, people are interested. And you know, obviously the quality of the apparel is really good. And we got to get Chadwick up here in his shorts.
We got to get Chadwick.
Where is Chadwick?
Chad.
He's around.
He is around, but he's not here right now. Because if he was here right now, you would know he was here right now.
He's just doing Chad things.
Yeah,
God
knows
where.
He's gonna be wearing our shorts. He's the best model for that, I think.
No doubt.
He sports it pretty well.
No doubt.
Got some thick old thighs on him.
Surprisingly, you think they might be thicker.
Yeah. You would think. They're very tan. Very tan legs.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, we should probably wrap this up before we get too carried away here.
All right, guys. Well, we'll be back. Always fun catching up with you boys.
Always.
With the headsets on.
I know.
I feel pretty professional.
This is a lot easier podcast being in person.
It really is.
I was nervous as hell, but then when we started going, I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's just like talking to friends.
You finished your Modelo, and then you're ready to rock.
Hell yeah.
Alrighty, listeners. Thank you for checking in with us, as always. We appreciate the hell out of you. We'll talk to you soon.